Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Wednesday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and back from his Christmas vacation is Dan the Man. Hey, if you'd like to call into the podcast and talk to us, 646-478. Uh-oh, I drew a blank there. It's been a while. I can't do two things at once. 3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, since it is Wednesday, a brand new blog went up this morning, so you can swing on over there and read that if you get the opportunity. That would be fantastic. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link. Get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan is the Man with these.
Oh, so, you know, Dan, I found this kind of interesting that the Cubs are actually still in talks with the Orioles on a possible Manny Machado deal. You know, the Orioles said they were done and they were taking him off the market and they weren't going to deal with it anymore. And this was about a week ago. And now, magically, you know, the news has came out that even this whole time, the Cubs have continued to discuss what it would take and the possibilities. And I know we talked about a deal before. This one here has a couple of the similar names. The Orioles would still get Addison Russell and Mike Montgomery. But this time, Alberto Almora's name has been added to the deal. I don't know if there's any more, you know, minor league players. The Orioles were looking for young arms, so maybe there's a couple of them involved. Were you as kind of surprised as I was that there's still a little kind of under the radar trade talks going on with the Cubs and the Orioles for this deal?
A little bit, but I mean, they really don't have the pitching to give up.
Yeah, you know, I heard, I'm trying to remember which analysis or analyst I should say I heard talking about this. They were saying at this point in time that the Orioles need to give up their request for this young starting pitching and take a deal like this, because while they're getting a average starting pitcher in Montgomery, they're also getting two 23-year-old players who could turn out to be very talented for a very long time in their uniform. You know, depending on what other, you know, maybe you get a throw in here. You know, there, I know Dylan Cease is still in the Cubs organization. You know, people
no,
think
he's
got some potential. Oh, is he a White Sox now? Okay, well, I believe Dwayne Underwood. Is he the other guy then that had some potential? So, you know, there might be a pitcher. I don't remember who went where. The Cubs traded everybody. But, you know, there's got to be a pitcher somewhere in the organization that they could add in to entice the deal. I don't know if or what it gets done, but if Almora goes, what my interest becomes, Dan, is who the hell's playing center field?
When they trade for Dexter Fowler.
Oh, we're going to bring Dexter back? You know, because my biggest fear, of course, was the fact that they would move Hayward into center full-time, and that's not really a fear, because Hayward, he could handle it. He's a talented defensive player. But then that would mean that we would get to see Ben Zobrist play every day in right field, and at this point in time, nobody needs to see Ben Zobrist play every day. So that's a tad frightening there on that part. Of course, I guess it could always open it up for Ian Hop to play, you know, a little more often in the outfield. But I'm not buying the fact that him as a true everyday center fielder. So you know it was just a little scary when you started thinking about how they would shuffle the cards. And of course, Machado would have to move to short. And while he was a natural shortstop coming up through the Orioles minor league system, he's been a third baseman ever since. So they're probably going to be a tad bit of an adjustment there. But it's an interesting deal. I mean, it lengthens the Cubs lineup, you know, of course, with Joe Maddon, Machado would probably lead off. So maybe it wouldn't lengthen their lineup, but 1-4, they would be really good.
Well, I'm just trying to picture it, but yeah, I mean, I think you would end up platooning the outfield, and Javi would have the everyday position at second.
Yeah, you'd have to figure you'd plug him in every day at second. I mean, he's the best defender of the bunch and probably the most talented with the bat if you can ever get it under control. You know, and then it's, you know, Hop and Zobrist are the guys who are going to have to eat the limited playing time. And in reality, it should be Zobrist. You know, Hop should be playing the majority of the time. But, you know, we both know with the way Joe Maddon loves Zobrist that it's not going to be that way, and he's going to play in 140 games. So, but, yeah, and then the other trade that's still kind of floating around and is alive after what many people thought it was is, you know, we all know the Giants are kind of looking for an outfielder. And they had early talks with the Reds about Billy Hamilton. And, you know, they started up, they went away, it didn't look like it was going to happen. Well, now apparently they're back on. But oddly, the same analyst who was all in on the Orioles making the deal for the young Cub players hated the idea of Hamilton being the Giants' everyday center fielder, basically because he said he didn't think he could handle it defensively. Okay, now, you know, Hamilton, he had a .991 fielding percentage last year. He only made 3 errors. You know, now obviously, you know, it looks like he only threw out 4 base runners. You know, he doesn't have they do credit him with 13 assists, so maybe he threw out more than that. But, you know, he doesn't have a what you would call a great arm, but, it's good enough to get the job done. I mean, 13 assists isn't terrible out there. What I don't understand, Dan, is how this guy kind of flip-flopped without any real logic. How did he decide that Hamilton couldn't handle center field in San Francisco?
Because he doesn't have the speed?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. I mean, he didn't say that, but then the thing that even made it stupider for me is the outfielder he believes the Giants should go get is Jay Bruce. Now, Jay Bruce can't play center field, and he definitely can't play center field in San Francisco because you need a Billy Hamilton-type guy to play center field in that ballpark. So I just don't understand the swap out there. Okay, you know, Bruce is going to give you some more power. They're both probably going to hit about 250. But, you know, Hamilton is obviously going to steal you more bases. And in San Francisco, you know, he could increase his extra base hits with balls in the gap easily. I mean, hell, he may hit 20 triples. So I didn't understand the swap out there and the fact that Bruce is going to cost you on the free agent market probably 4 or 5 times more what you can get Hamilton for.
Yeah, and you want a full power hitter in a stadium not built for power.
Right. So, I mean, I was just really kind of baffled by the flip flop there. And, you know, that and the fact that Hamilton is just going to be 27 years old, while I believe Jay Bruce is, he might be 30 or he's in his 30s. Yeah, he's 30 right now. He'll be 31 in April. So, you know, you get a guy who's 4 years younger. You know, and obviously the better defender, I mean, he seems to fit the dynamic of your ballpark better. But then it's like, oh, no, we've got to, you know, you should go with Jay Bruce. Why? Are you his agent? Are you getting a cut out of something when he gets signed? I mean, it seemed like the stupidest swap I have heard in a long time. And obviously there are some dumb swaps out there. But this, I mean, it just didn't make sense for me to see the, you know, I mean, in reality, they probably need both guys, Hamilton in center and then Bruce in left, because Hunter Pence is going to play right. But I just don't, I didn't understand it. I was hoping it made sense to you.
No, it doesn't make any sense to me at all.
I guess, I don't know. I just get, I get baffled by that stuff when they start talking about it, and it's just like, wait, what? We gotta do what? You know, I mean, at least they didn't say start trading their guys for prospects. You know, we worked that out, but you know. Well.
Yeah, and I was going back to go to our spot track and check out, you know, on that Cubs Orioles deal, and you know the way it looks with the Orioles, if they were able to make that deal. They would get three guys for not even 1 year's salary of Manny Machado. And, you know, Mike Montgomery, we don't know if he could be a solid fifth starter because he's really never going to get that opportunity here with Joe Mann, because let's face it, if you're not John Lester, or even if you're Kyle Hendricks, you know, you're lucky if you can go five, right, third inning. So we're really not going to get to see it, but he and Edward Armora are in free arbitration until 2022. So they'd have him until then. And then Addison Russell is in arbitration year one. So they'd have a good 2 years out of him before they'd have to decide if they wanted to make a deal or not. You know, they'd have him until 2021. So, I mean, you'd, like you said, you'd have three, you know, two guys who could potentially really shine in their system. So I don't think it's a bad deal. And I think they would make out a hell of a lot better than the Cubs would, because I don't know. I see him testing the waters. I don't see him wanting to stay if he came here anyways. But then again, if you get a ring, then why would you want to stay? You get even more money.
Yeah. Yeah. If you win a ring, you would probably be more likely to take the most money from somebody, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that could be you know, it's definitely a risk on any team that you know would be willing to acquire him. So
yeah.
You know, it's just, and obviously, you know, the Cubs are one of the teams that could pay him what he, you know, what he would be looking for. You know, because again, you know, we're looking at a guy who's a, you know, going to be a $300-400 million type of guy. So, you know, we'll have to see how it kind of works out. But
well, and not only that, you forget, can they pay him and Bryce Harper in the same deal?
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, you know, they could if they wanted to. It just puts them way over the luxury tax. So, you know, well, here you go, Dan. How about a little name that's a blast from the past, a guy who played, had basically a cup of coffee on both sides of town here in Chicago, but the Red Sox are going to bring Mike Alt back on another minor league contract for 2018. He played in Double A for him last year, 130 games, hit .245 with 16 bombs. You know, he was a gigantic prospect for the Rangers. And I'm trying to remember, he came over, was it the Matt Garza deal? I think the Cubs got him back in. Stu and I were just looking at it the other day. It might have been Friday. So, you know, he just, it just never worked out for him. It turned out he had an eye infection or something that really just decimated his career. Is that what, why I thought he had something wrong with it before he had the LASIK?
Well, yeah, I mean, that was supposed to correct it. And, you know, Uncle Bob, before Chris Bryant, Michael was going to be the savior at third base. And, you know, he reads about one prospect and he thinks the guy's going to save the team. Always cracks me up.
But yeah, you know, at one point he hit 28 bombs for Texas in Double A, And it, you know, it looked like, you know, he had hit 288 that year as well. It looked like he was on his way, and then, you know, the injuries just the eye problem just really derailed him. And you know, it's one of those things. I don't think we would ever see him in the major leagues, but I just thought it was kind of humorous that, you know, he's still out there plugging away. I mean, you got to give him credit. You know, he's still grinding away. I mean, he's been when was his first year? He started in 2010. So, you know, he's coming up on 8 years, you know, banging it out on the buses in the minor leagues and, you know, all that stuff. But, you know, we'll see. Who knows? Maybe, God forbid somebody gets hurt and he gets to come up and spend a little time on the bench.
Mm-hmm. Well, he did get 89.
But, yeah, I saw – yeah, that was the year he hit like a buck. He did hit double-digit home runs, but I think he hit a buck 60 or something. So, you know. But, yeah, I saw the name, and I was like, oh, man, we were just talking about this guy. It's too bad it didn't happen, you know, a day earlier. So I just thought that was kind of odd coincidence there that it happened. But I did yesterday. I was very happy for you when I saw that the Twins signed your guy Zach Duke to a one-year deal.
Really? Where was
yeah?
He was with the Sox last year.
No, he was actually with St. Louis. Remember, they traded him to St. Louis, and then he blew out his arm. 2016, he had Tommy John. He did come back last year to pitch a little bit. I think he got in 27 games, but they really limited his innings. He only pitched like 18 innings. But, you know, he should be fully healthy and ready to roll for Minnesota. And I'm assuming come fantasy draft time, Dan, that you'll be picking both the guys at the back end of the Twins bullpen, because Zach Duke is setting up for your other guy, Fernando Rodney, who they signed to be their closer.
Yeah, but you know what will happen. You'll be a jerk and you'll nominate him and someone will bid me out.
Dude, they're going to be the first guys. They're going to be the first two guys I nominate. What are you talking about? After seeing this, I don't care if it is December. I'm going to be writing this down when it comes along. Duke and Rodney, those are the first two guys on the board. So
you know, I'm
you'll have all your money. You know, and then the third guy, of course, will be Tony Watson once he signs. So, but yeah, I just kind of chuckled because I was like, man, Dan's got to root for the Twins now. So,
I mean, do you think that kind of helps them? Because they kind of came out of nowhere last year.
You know, I think it has to help them. You know, they had that really kind of a strange year where, you know, they contended and nobody expected them to. And then they, you know, they made a move. They went out and got, I believe it was Jaime Garcia.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he made very many starts for them, maybe one or two, and he was terrible, and they decided to sell. So they, you know, Garcia went to the Yankees, they traded their closer to the Nationals, and I think they may have even dealt another relief pitcher. So they really kind of tore themselves down, and then they started winning again. And it was like, oh God, man, if you'd have just held on to your guys. You know, you could have maybe, you know, done something, you know, and then, you know, they snuck into the wild card, but, you know, yeah, you just wonder, you know, what does Rodney have left? I mean, he keeps doing it. You know, he's 40. I think he's 40. He might even be a little older than that now, but, you know, it's just like, okay, let's keep running him out there until he can't shoot the arrows anymore, but. It just doesn't seem to want to end for him, which is a good thing. And I mean, there were people who thought his career was over, God, quite a few years ago. But he, you know, he just keeps bouncing back, and he is 40. I had to double check that. He'll be 41 in March. So, but yeah, you know, he did pick up 39 saves for Arizona. You know, I know the ERA was a little up. It was 4.23, but if I remember right, he got off to a terrible start. So, but yeah, you know, we'll see what he's got left there. Now he's got Duke in front of him as a setup guy, and you know, they have some interesting young arms in the bullpen. So, you know, we'll see if a couple of those guys come through, or maybe they add a, you know, another veteran guy here, like, you know, like Duke, to kind of help out. But yeah, you know, they're a funky little team. I mean, Brian Dozier is still king of the world for whatever reason, and they haven't traded him like everybody keeps telling them to. And you know, I read a report today that said Miguel Sano is ahead of schedule, so he'll be healthy and ready to go for spring training. You know, Joe Mauer is going to hit 300 and, you know, that kind of stuff. And Byron Buxton finally looked like the guy who was the number one, you know, prospect for, God, how many years there? It was like 3 years he was the number one rated minor league prospect. You know, I guess the question, like everything else, is, I mean, are you buying that they can do it again?
I mean, the AL Central still looks pretty weak, so I don't see why not. The Tigers still, the White Sox are rebuilding,
I mean,
the Royals are kind of in between, and then who do you have left? The Indians.
Yeah, the Indians are really kind of the class of that division, and it's going to be everybody kind of chasing them. You know, I guess the question is going to be is how is that starting pitching going to hold up? You know, Santana was great last year, 16-8 with that 3.28 ERA. But, you know, after that, Jose Berrios was solid, 14-8 with a 3.89, but they didn't have guys make a ton of starts. You know, Phil Hughes got dinged up, so they need him to bounce back healthy. You know, it would be great if Mejia would work out to be the prospect that people kind of thought he would be. You know, and then Kyle Gibson, actually, you know, he pitched, you know, he made 29 starts for him, but that ERA was 5.07. You wonder if he could kind of bring that stuff down. But, yeah, you know, kind of looking around, they have, you know, again, there, you know, there's a little bit of potential there for, you know, the possibility that they could kind of be like, hey, we're still hanging around here. Look at us. You know, and who knows, right?
Yeah, well, I'm trying to pull up this article, and I'm sure you read this because you seem to know everything. The Twins apparently signed a 19-year-old Taiwanese player. You know, taking a little dash at their international signing money. But I can't find the article now.
Yeah, I saw it. I don't remember his name, but I did see the kind of the little blurb on it. So I didn't know or, you know, much about him or anything like that. But do you remember if he was – is he considered Major League ready? Do you know?
Well, his name is Tang. I don't know if that's his first or last name. He's a right-handed pitcher. Sorry, of course, the MLB. From their website, it went to a – it didn't have – went to a defunct webpage. I couldn't pull it up, but you know, he's 6'4", 260, right-handed pitcher. He was on the Taiwan team in the Little League series. So I guess you can do some scouting when he's there. He's got a 94-mile-an-hour fastball. His curve has some great break. And it looks like he'll be a minor leaguer.
Yeah, I found one of the articles on him. I'm guessing it's Tang Kai Wee is what we're going with. They got him for $580,000. The article I have here says he tried out in May for 10 teams and hit 92 on the gun. So we'll see, but yeah, he definitely headed to the to the minors to see if he can develop. You know, obviously at 19, you're a long way away from the majors. But you know, hey, they were saving that money to sign Ohtani, so they might as well use it, right?
Yeah, and do you think with a kid at 19, you know, he's going to be in spring training. I don't know if we'll see him this year in the majors, but being at 6'4", 260, with the way the game is played now, you know, you're not allowed to weigh that until you get a CeCe Sabathia-type style in age. You know, you've been around. Do you think they'll be pushing to get him down to 240?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things where I wouldn't be surprised, you know, with the way, you know, they kind of do things. I guess a lot will depend on how the weight carries on his body, you know, because some guys can carry that weight and they don't look it, you know, and, mm-hmm. and you're surprised when you hear, wait, he weighs what? But then, of course, you know, there's other guys that you look at and go, oh, my God, he's got to lose weight. You know, also for, you know, pitchers, if it doesn't affect your ability to pitch and go deep into games now. And of course, by deep into games now, I mean 5 or 6 innings. Sometimes it's better to be a little on the chubby side there. It kind of helps you out, you know, gives you a little extra endurance and, you know, that kind of stuff. So it might not be a terrible thing. You know, I'm sure just naturally the workouts and spring training will help him lose some weight too, don't you think?
Yeah, that's quite possible. But I guess we've got, less than 5 weeks before pitcher's catcher's report. So it'll be interesting come March to kind of watch this guy or this kid. And I'm old. I'm looking not as old as you.
But, I heard you know, again, another just one of these weird stories saying it involves the Orioles. And I'm just kind of trying to get your take on this. You know, we know Zach Britton was out with the arm trouble. Then he had the Achilles issue. Now there are reports that when he returns, he's going to be a starter. Damn, this guy was one of the best relievers in the game. And they're going to transition him into starting pitcher?
I mean, he can't be rookie of the year, but are the two casts that they're going to put on him going to give him that super strength?
Yeah, they must be doing something. I just was... And like I said, I was just, when I heard this, I really didn't know how to react or what to look at, or I mean, I just drew a complete blank when I was like, wait, they're going to do what? So.
Maybe they're going to trade him to the Cubs along with Machado.
Yeah, maybe they'll take on the injured guy, you know, and let him rehab with them, and then they can both walk away next year as free agents. They'll get nothing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, no, because, you know, Joe Maddon would love to have him as a starter.
Yes. Well, again, you know, we're talking about what, you know, 6 innings, right? You know, that's no big deal. You can, you know, we can run anybody up. 5 or 6 innings. That's, you know, a piece of cake. So, but yeah, like to me, it just seemed weird. It's like, okay, we're going to take the guy who was legitimately the best closer in baseball when he was healthy, and we're going to make him a starter. And it was just kind of like, wait, what? So I thought maybe you had a better idea on what was going on there than I did.
Well,
you have
Adam
sources
Jones
in Baltimore.
Yeah,
he might have to be. So. But all right, well, you got to help me out with this one, Dan, because I'm out of answers for Stu when he keeps asking me these questions. But When are we finally going to get a big time free agent signed somewhere? You know, there really been any. You know, I guess the biggest one to this point is Carlos Santana with the Phillies. But, you know, we're sitting on a couple of the pitchers, you know, Yu Darvish, Jake Arrieta, JD Martinez is still out there. You know, Eric Hosmer, you know, if you're not sabermetrically relevant, you might like to have Eric Hosmer on your team. But yeah, when are we finally going to get a guy signed? So the bow kind of breaks open here and we get some stuff going.
I think the first one will have, what's my number? I want to guarantee one signing on Friday, maybe two. I feel like the guy that's gonna, the guy or guys that will get signed will be, I have a feeling JD Martinez is gonna be the first one going up, but I can't give you the second one. You know, and what really throws me off is I jumped on the website earlier, and I'm like, how are these guys still not signed? What is, you know, I didn't really pay attention to anything this whole weekend, and I expected to log on and see some signings that I missed, you know, like you said, the big names. And I was kind of shocked that I didn't get any of those this weekend. But I feel like JD Martinez is going to be the guy that's going to get signed, and we'll start to get the push on the other guys. I know a lot of the experts and everyone wants to say that, you know, with catchers reporting to camp, what is it, like the first or second week of February, that these things have to get done right away. But with a guy like Yu Darvish, I don't really think you have to. I don't know his family ties, but I don't think he would have an issue just picking up and going. You know, they mentioned that with Jake Arrieta, but on the same token, you know, I don't remember if he has kids or not, but if he does, I don't believe they're in school. So if he were to have to pick up and move, I don't think that would be a huge issue for him. I highly doubt his wife works. So I do know, which I thought was interesting, a nice enticement for him to go up to Milwaukee, even though we kind of, you know, kind of put that one out the door. But the fact that he really wouldn't have to move because it's only a couple-hour drive. Well, not even from where, you know, if you're living up on the north side, it's about an hour. So it wouldn't be a bad commute for him. But, you know, with the money he wants, I think we both figured he's not going to get that signing unless he's willing to take a 1-2 year deal. You know, 1 year with an opt-out, maybe 2 years with an opt-out after the first year. And to be honest, I think with some of these guys, that's what we're going to be looking at. And you've got to wonder if it'll kind of almost be like a Johnny Cueto deal for these other teams where I'm not going to knock him. I still want to see him do awesome. But, I mean, let's be honest, it didn't work out this year, and he wasn't going to opt out of that contract or, you know, last season. So, I think that's one of the things that is, you know, yeah, it's great to have Boris on your side, but I think that's one of the things that hurts you a little bit too.
Yeah. You know, I've kind of wondered over and over if pitchers like Arrieta or even Alex Cobb maybe priced themselves out of the market. Because, you know, Cobb said he wants $20 million a season, and Arrieta wants a contract totaling $200 million. And, you know, I mean, I kind of want those things too. I would like to make $20 million a season, and I would also like to be under contract for a total of $200 million. So,
yeah.
You know, I understand where they're coming from, but where are they going to get these from?
Well, you know, I think they can get it, but do you, kind of going along with what you said, do you think putting that out there just makes everyone wait to the very last minute to kind of see what else happens? You know, because we really didn't get that from Yu Darvish. We didn't get, well, I want, you know, 5 years at $300 trillion. You know, it's more like, hey, he's out there open to talk.
I think in a case like,
with both,
you know,
Arietta
in a case
Cobb,
like
we haven't really heard many teams linked to them.
Yeah, you know, in a case like Arietta's, I think it actually hurt him, you know, because there was interest from the Brewers, you know, right off the bat. But once you throw a number out there like that, you know, they walked away and just went a different route. You know, and they signed three guys for probably a fifth of what they were going to pay for Arietta. You know, because, I mean, as great as Milwaukee did last year, I still don't think they're in a position where they can pay that for a player. Or if they did, you know, it would kind of wipe out the rest of their salary structure. You know, and while there is no salary cap, you know, there are small market teams and big market teams. So, but, you know, Cobb is that case of, that's great, you want $20 million, but what have you done to earn it? You know, you don't have a Cy Young on your resume. You don't have any real playoff experience on your resume, but yet you're out here making these demands. You know what I mean? You haven't even really been a number one because you've got Chris Archer on your team. But you're making demands that a number one starter would make. Prompts me to pay you this.
Because that's what I want.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, it's kind of great that you can say, oh, yeah, well, give me this. Okay, well, why? So... but, yeah, you know, like you mentioned, with them throwing their demands out there, you know, it may have made teams sit back and wait for their demands to come down. You know, because obviously, you know, nobody has run out and offered to pay them money. You know, the only one who's had any meetings has been Darvish. You know, he met with the Cubs, I believe, the Astros twice, and then the Rangers. Nobody's spoken to Arietta. Nobody's spoken to Cobb. So, you know, it's kind of like, oh, okay. You know, I guess this is what we're getting. So, yeah, we'll have to see how or... you know, if a team comes around, and, you know, I mean, obviously these guys are, they're going to get signed. They're going to end up on teams. You know, it's not going to be, you know, like Jake Arrieta sitting out the final, you know, the season or something like that. So, you know, one of those things. But, yeah, it's going to, you know, I think he might be, he may have put himself in a bad spot, and he may be stuck in a waiting game. So, you know, except we'll have to just kind of look and see and figure out how it goes, but. Yeah, you know, I don't know if it was the smartest move on his part. So, but all right, I got to ask you this. You know, I missed yesterday, and I actually forgot to tell everybody. The reason we weren't here on Sunday was, believe it or not, Mr. Fantasy was barred from doing the podcast. He was not allowed to go away from his family for the 2 hours it takes us to do the podcast on Sunday. And I was a little under the weather. As you can tell, I'm still coughing a little, and I didn't want to come on and try to do it by myself. This week we have the same situation since it is another holiday. He has already been informed that he is banned again from the podcast, and I'm not making this up. I wish I was making this up, and this was just humorous. This is actually how it goes. He has been physically banned by his wife, where he cannot do the podcast. So I will try to come on Sunday and give you our picks and do the FanDuel lineup since it is the last week of the regular season. But it definitely won't be a two-hour podcast. But I think last time I stumbled through about an hour and a half with everything that went on. But, yeah, if you were looking for a Sunday, sorry, I forgot to apologize to you. But it was as weird as it sounds, it was completely legitimate. I had never heard of a grown man being banned before until then, but apparently that's what happens. So my apologies if you were looking for us or picks or FanDuel advice. So sorry about that.
Maybe you should text him.
But I didn't. At least he got me his picks before the game started, which I was a little surprised by. I did want to ask you, Dan, you know, Christmas Day, if the NBA tries to take over Christmas Day, I don't know how well they did going up against two NFL games. You know, the marquee game, we got the Cavaliers at the Warriors. Dan, I honestly didn't realize there were four other games because all anybody's talking about, especially the Mickey Mouse Network, is the foul that Kevin Durant committed that wasn't a foul. Have you seen any of this crap, or how many NBA games did you watch?
We had it on, and I went all the way through. But by the time I came to the Lakers and the Timberwolves, actually, that was probably the most entertaining game because we didn't have the volume on all day. But it was a lot more fun to watch the game without Lonzo Ball, because that's the only reason you want to watch a Lakers game. But it was fun to have Chuck, Ernie, Shaq and Kenny doing the announcing for the game. That made the game right there. But I did see the foul, and my nephew's been a LeBron guy since LeBron was in high school, because he grew up in Pennsylvania, not far from Ohio. And, and he was upset about it. And I told him, well, you know, that's preview for game 7 of the finals. And he just looked at me and I said, the Warriors winning again. But, you know, he was upset about the foul, and I'm like, well, they're not in Cleveland.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if they were in Cleveland, it would have been a foul. But they were in Golden State.
Yeah, the funniest thing is, you know, the NBA came out and said that Durant fouled LeBron 3 times. 2 times on that final play, and then 1 time a little bit before that, and that LeBron fouled Durant 1 time that went uncalled. Here's the bottom line, Dan. It was December 25th. It was an NBA regular season game that means absolutely nothing. Who cares? This is, for some reason, I'm guessing because LeBron is involved and it's the Warriors, this for some reason has been a major media story, and I can't get away from it. It's just ridiculously stupid that, a company like the Mickey Mouse Network, and they wonder why they're having so much trouble and they're letting people go right and left. Maybe because you're idiots and you focus on the wrong things. They've been stuck on this story where, if I don't know any better, there's going to be a 30 for 30 on it real soon, because it's all they keep talking about. And I just don't get it. It's a meaningless regular season game that's going to mean absolutely nothing when the playoffs come around. It's not going to affect the standings. What I would have loved to know is, how'd that Timberwolves-Lakers game go? Because I had to go to bed. I had to go to work the next day. I didn't get to see any of it. Would have loved to seen all those former Bulls play, and see how the Lakers do, of course, without Lonzo, because he's going to be out for a week or two. No, did I get that? Oh, no. I got to hear every different point of view on, did Kevin Durant foul LeBron James? Yes, he fouled them. They didn't call it. It happens in every NBA game. Sometimes they call fouls that don't happen. Sometimes they call fouls that do happen. Like Dan said, if the game would have been in Cleveland, the whistle would have been blown. Dan, I just can't get these people to shut up fast enough about it.
Yeah, well,
And you wonder why.
My wife's nephew is, my nephew by marriage, was getting a little bit more upset about it, because all the guys at Christmas Day were just just ranting and giving him crap the whole time because the Cavs lost. And, you know, one uncle would be like, hey, what's wrong, Justin? And I'd go, oh, the Cavs lost. You know, we just kept going at it with them. But, you know, what I tried to tell him at the end, I, like you said, at the end of the day, I was like, you know, this, you know, these two teams are going to be in the finals unless the Celtics have anything to say about it or, well, anything to do about it. And unless Oklahoma or the Rockets can do something about it. And, you know, like you said, it's regular season. This game doesn't mean anything. There's a great draw for the NBA on Christmas Day. You know, the positive, the Nike jersey didn't rip. So everyone had their jerseys on the whole game. But other than that, you know, like you said, it's, you know, he was complaining about the foul. I, of course, I was giving him crap. I'm like, he barely touched him. You know, and then you got to throw in the Jordan. You know, Jordan wouldn't have cried about it because he wouldn't have. He would have just taken the foul, and it would have actually been called for him because, you know, it was Jordan.
Yeah.
And, you know, but even if it wasn't called for him, he would have just kind of went out with the next play. You know, guys of that generation didn't complain about every single call, whether they got it or not, unless it was in the playoffs. But, you know, we gave him the crap, and it's like, hey, and I told him, I go, that's the problem with today's game. Everything is too reliant on the foul. I mean, just like when Dwayne Wade went up for his infamous, I'll jump to get you to jump, and then I'll lean into you and get the foul crap. I hate that. You know, it's the crappiest thing you could do. It's so cheap, but the NBA allows it. And I also mentioned to him, I go, you know, he's a good player. But I'm like, did you ever notice all his highlight, great highlight dunks are on an open key where no one's playing defense? Well, yeah, because no one wants to play defense on LeBron. Well, yeah, because if they get in the key, there's never going to be a charge. They're going to get the foul no matter what. You might as well just let them do it.
Yeah, well, you know, the odd thing that nobody has bothered to point out is even if they called the foul on that play, LeBron went 4 of 7 from the free throw line. There was no guarantee he was making both those free throws.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, as much as you want to say, well, you know, it could have been this and it could have been that. Yeah. I believe again, we can do that in every single game. Oh, well, it could have made the difference. Yeah, and it couldn't have. How do we know he hits the free throws?
Yeah.
You know, he hadn't made all game. Why is he going to make these two in a big-time pressure situation? You know, he magically gets better in a pressure situation? No, I remember going through years and years of LeBron not being able to hit the last shot. So I don't think this is going to be any different.
Well, how about the cramp?
Yeah.
The cramping leg against the Spurs.
You know, it was just kind of like, okay, great. But, yeah, I mean, I was, you know, I know we're doing it here, but that's just because I'm incredibly irritated by it. I was just literally miffed at the amount of time they spent showing the highlight and talking about it. And, you know, they never bothered to say what kind of an effect it would have on the game or anything like that. They just went on and on about the, you know, the call. And it was like, again, who cares? You know, and I know they can't say it because they're so invested in the NBA with the, you know, they're overpaying and all that stuff that they did for it. But yeah, it was just like, really, this is, you know what I mean? They literally spent 4 times the amount of time talking about this one play than they did the other 4 games that happened. And I saw quite a bit of the first game, which was Knicks and Sixers, and it was a pretty good game.
Yeah.
So maybe they would have liked to have, I don't know, talked about that a little bit. Nah. The hell with that. We don't need to talk about that. Let's, you know, instead of getting a chance to expand the league and maybe make it more about, you know, than just two teams and a few players. We're just going to talk about those two teams and the players on those teams. Nice going, idiots. And again, you wonder why your network suffers.
Well, and it's not just that, though. It's one team, the Warriors, and LeBron.
Yeah. So, you know, this
finals,
is back, you know, that Steph Curry didn't play.
Yeah, the whole finals was promoted as LeBron versus KD, Steph Curry, and Thompson, and Draymond. It wasn't LeBron, Kyrie, Love, you know, who else? I can't remember who else was on the team. But, you know, it wasn't all of them versus, you know, 4-on-4. It was a promo of LeBron versus all. And, you know, he's still pretty athletic. Well, he's still pretty damn athletic. He's still pretty young. So unfortunately, this is the league for the next at least 5 years.
Yeah, and they wondered why Kyrie wanted out of town. Really?
Uh-huh.
You know, why wouldn't he want to be out of town when, you know, he can get away from being the, you know, the guy playing second fiddle. So.
And you're not allowed to talk about it, but
kind of,
I'm sure he didn't like the fact that the team was basically ran by, you know, LeBron, even though we're not allowed to talk about it.
Yeah, you know, not that anybody will admit it, you know, or anything like that, but, you know, that's just kind of, you know, kind of the way it goes.
He's,
so.
He's going to make enough money to buy the Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm sure then he could get a deal on the Browns, too. He'd probably do a better job.
Yeah. Oh, but while we were on basketball, Dan, I got two of those wonderful trades that you and I like to get so much. In our league, you know, he wanted to give me two of his bench players for John Wall. He's had the hots for John Wall for a while. And he keeps sending me the semblance of the same trade over and over. So I countered this time. The first trade I countered with a 5 for 5, you know, with John Wall in it and then my four worst players. And he rejected that. So the second trade I countered with 6 for 6. And I haven't heard back from him yet. So I was just kind of like, you know, I have no problems making trades. I mean, I make trades all the time in these leagues, but I'm not giving you my best guy for two bench players. So
why not? I want to win the league again.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's just kind of like, you know, really, you know, and you got to wonder, you know, like I know he had actually completed a trade that apparently was voted down because I didn't see it go through.
Oh, wow, I didn't even vote on it.
Oh, yeah, here it was vetoed. It was Kyle Lowry for Milos Teodosic and TJ Warren. And the trade guy, I got it here, vetoed trade. So that means it got voted down. So luckily our other owners are paying attention. I did vote against it. So good thing everybody's paying attention and got voted down. Yeah, that was a crappy trade, but you know, you wonder, you know, it's getting to the point where I like the fact that he's active, but boy, he's just annoying as an owner. So,
Star Jerry Jones.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, I mean, you know, I'm glad and happy, like I said, that he likes to do things and actually, you know, plays his team and does all this stuff. But, man, I know every time I get it, it's like, oh, God, do I even want to open this or do I just want to reject it now?
Yeah, well, you know, I stopped rejecting and then I started offering him, sending him back really crappy trades too. And then he just flat out stopped sending them.
Well, that's where I got the idea was from you, because you were sending him counters. So,
you know, like you said, I'm not against making deals, but it's funny when I send you a crappy trade, or you send me a crappy trade, then I send you a crappy trade. You know, now let's make a real deal. And he just doesn't want to go there.
Yeah, it, you know, and that's the weird thing. It's like I actually think I traded with him last year. I have no problem dealing with him, but it's got to be an equal or a fair trade. I can't give you a starter, for two guys that I'm just going to put on my bench, and then I'm going to have to cut somebody, because I. because I had to take on your two guys. So.
But yeah, that's the other thing. You want me to drop two? I'm supposed to drop two guys. That I don't get.
Yeah.
It's not the real NBA, but we could just add some cash to that.
So yeah, it's just one of those those odd things, and it's like, well, okay, the weird part is, like, I've sent him a couple real serious, a little more even type of trades, but that's when I'm realizing that he just wants to rip you off so his team gets better and he doesn't have to worry about playing against anybody else.
Pretty much, because he won the league before, and he's always in the top spot in the division.
Well, next year we'll have to put him in with the, the better guys and see how it goes.
Secret portal.
So, but yeah, I thought that was kind of, and it's funny because every time I get him, I just kind of chuckle. I'm like, oh, here we go. So maybe I should enjoy him and send them,
He stopped to the point where I really want to, this is not going to happen, but I kind of want to trade Russell Westbrook to somebody. just to kind of rub it in his face.
He must be looking for a point guard, because that's where we're getting all the trades to and from. Is he wants a point guard? So.
Well, he's also the guy who went with Lonzo Ball. So I think that's one of the biggest reasons.
Yeah.
He's looking for a point guard because I like the kid, but I don't think. Fantasy team or not, building your team around Lonzo Ball off the bat was such a stellar idea.
Yeah, it was definitely a risk, kind of wondering what you were going to get out of him. And, I don't think, I know he hasn't been great, but he hasn't been terrible, but I don't know if he's been a big help to anybody, so... But yeah, I'm sure, somewhere down the line, something will pop up. I'll get another, hey, I'll give you these two bench guys for John Wall, and then I'll have to come back with something else. So, or maybe he'll start going after Damian Lillard because he's my other point guard. So. All right, well, it's time for Dan and I to head out. That's what that music signifies. But hey, we'll be back tomorrow at 5:30 to do this all again. You know what to do while we're gone, though. Get over to sportstimeradio.com and read the new blog that went up this morning. Then link over to the Facebook page and give that a like, please. Don't forget the Twitter feed at sportstimeradio. And then, of course, Dan and I are out there on Twitter if you'd like to hunt us down. As always, thanks for listening live. But don't forget that the podcast is available for you to listen to anytime you want right over at tunein.com.